I cannot tell you how many people ask me this Shiloh, and I'm using air quotes for this, the type of Shiloh that I got. But before I begin, it's not the Shiloh, when the Rav sells my chametz, does that include my barbecue in the back of my house? That's not the Shiloh. It's not the Shiloh of, how does Mechiras chametz work in the first place if I'm really not planning on selling it to a non-Jew and I'm planning on taking it back afterward? That's not the Shiloh. It's not, is Sfiras Omer Do Raisa or Do Rabbanan? And what's the nafkamina between those two? That would be a good Shiloh, but that's not the Shiloh. Those are great questions. And the truth is, I'd love to get those questions. Those are questions that we take some time to think over and to go over, and those are some great ideas that can come from it. I would be happy to answer any of them. But here's the Shiloh that I was asked nine times over before Yom Tov, during Chol HaMoed. Rabbi, if a movie comes out that's a once-in-a-lifetime experience, is it mutter for me to go see it during Sfira? That was the question that I got nine times. Now, you don't understand, Rabbi. An IMAX theater makes it that much better. Rabbi, everyone I know is going to see that movie, and they're not going to ask the Shiloh. They'll spoil everything for me. There's nothing I can do. I have to see it myself first to make sure that I know how it ends, because otherwise I'll be left out of every conversation we come through. You don't understand, Rabbi. It's a culmination of 22 movies and over 55 hours of time that I spent of my life watching them, not including the amount of hours and days that I spent talking about them, discussing with my best friend, J3OX0857 on Twitter, just how great this movie is. It's his bestest buddy. No, you don't have to know the real name, right? It's just that. They're soulmates. So that's who it is. How in the world can I not? So the truth is that I should be happy, because again, nobody, at least they came to me. They asked the Shiloh. They're asking it as a serious Shiloh. Nobody asked me, and I was afraid that this is going to happen, but nobody asked me if they could buy the tickets to the movie theater before Yom Tov, stay in the movie theater for the next couple hours, and just sit in the movie theater on Yom Tov itself, watching it on the night of the premiere, which was Thursday night. Nobody asked me that, Shiloh. That I think I knew what my absolute answer was. Nobody asked me that. So those are things that I'm actually thankful for, that I appreciate, and I think that's good. But nonetheless, the question that was asked is, can you watch a movie during Sfira? Can you do that? Can you not do it? I think that it's missing the point. So let's try to understand what it should be. I answered to each one of them. I said the exact same thing, and I even copied it, and I was ready. I had it copied on my phone so much that I was just pressing paste. When people asked me the Shiloh, I just pasted it right back on and did it there. Just put it right there. If I had that ability, when two people called me up and asked me it, I probably would have just pasted it on there as well. But I answered the following. I said, it is not usher to watch a movie over Sfira, but listening to music is a problem, and watching a movie in a theater is definitely an experience that would be frowned upon during Sfira. But it's more of a hashkafic question than a halachic question. And that's how we ended. If the person wanted to continue the discussion, then I would continue the discussion. And if the person wanted to end it right there, I'd be like, Hashkafik, I'm in! And that's that. Then I ended it right there as well. I left it as it was. But let me explain what I mean. This week's Parsha, Parshas Acharemos, it starts off with the death of the two sons of Aaron. Now the truth is, they already died. They died in Parshas Shmini, and this is Acharemos Shnei Ben Aaron, after the death of the two sons of Aaron, two very great men. After they died, right, we speak about what the Kohen Gadol has to do when he goes in on Yom Kippur, what his process of bringing korbanos and everything is. We read this Parsha on Yom Kippur. We read it on Yom Kippur itself. Now, the obvious reason why is because since the Parsha is dealing with the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur and the service that he does on Yom Kippur, then we read it on Yom Kippur. That makes the most sense, right? Because we're on Yom Kippur, we're doing the Korbanos, that makes the most sense to be able to read it on Yom Kippur. But the Be'er Heitev brings down a Zohar and a line from the Arizal HaKadosh. And they say a totally different reason. What's the reason why we read this on Yom Kippur? It's because anyone who feels pain over the death of Nadav and Avihu, anybody who feels pain, anyone who cries about Nadav and Avihu's death, if you have either one of those on Yom Kippur itself, you are immediately forgiven for all of your sins, and you will never see your children die in your lifetime. Can you imagine that? The promise that the Arizal is giving us, that the Zohar is giving us. You are promised, if you cry over another one of you, sins totally forgiven. This is on Yom Kippur, so I guess this means on a higher level, your sins are forgiven. And not only that, but your children, you're promised your children will die in your lifetime. That's what you get. So Chaim Shmulevitz asks in Sichos Mosri, he says, how is it shayach for me to cry, to really feel the deaths of two people that died 3,200 years ago? Is that shayach? Are we really supposed to do that? How are you going to cry over Nadav and Avihu? You don't know who Nadav and Avihu were. You know what they did. How is that something that we should be worried about? That's something that we can cry about? So Chaim Shmulevitz, how is that shayach? And he answers with the Gemara in Chul. This Gemara is in Daf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph. It doesn't appear anywhere else in Shas. Where Ben Azai heard something that Rabbi Yishmael had said. Rabbi Yishmael was in the previous generation before Ben Azai. Ben Azai was a young man when he died. That's from the Gemara in Pardes with the Gemara in Chagiga. He was a young man when he died. But Rabbi Yishmael was in the previous generation with Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Loz Ben Azaria, Rabbi Akiva. When he heard something that Rabbi Yishmael had said, Ben Azai said the following. He says, Chaval al Ben Azai, Chaval on myself, Shilo Shimish is Rabbi Yishmael, that I didn't serve Rabbi Yishmael. Chaval that I wasn't able to serve him. Rashi says on that line, he says, Hefsid b'chavala hibolim. It's a loss that the world incurred because I didn't serve Rabbi Yishmael. He said, Talmid vasik kavasi, a great Talmid like myself, Ben Azai, shelo shimashis Rabbi Yishmael, hefsid b'chavala hibolim. The world lost out. And we have to understand something. Ben Azai is another line of Bechoros. Bechoros daf nun chesam and aleph. Ben Azai says, Hakolai keklipas hashum. Everybody to me is like the peel of garlic. You ever eaten peel of garlic? You ever eaten it? No, you know why? Because inedible and pointless. There's no point to the peel on garlic. You don't need it. Everybody to me is pointless. They mean nothing to me and I don't need them. They're like garlic peels. They're nothing to me. Chutz mi Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is different. Rabbi Akiva is great, said Ben Azai. But everybody else is, to me, like the peel of garlic. I don't need them. Rabbi Yishmael is included in that. Rabbi Yishmael is a klipas shum to Ben Azai. He's the peel of garlic. It means nothing. And nonetheless, Ben Azai saw something, some form of a service, that if he would have been mishamish Rabbi Yishmael, he would have gained more. And because he didn't, even though he's greater than Rabbi Yishmael, because he didn't, the world lost out because of it. The whole world lost out on everything. That's something strange, but it makes sense. If you see Talmid Chachamim as tsinoros for Shefa in this world, what that means is, if you see Talmid Chachamim as the ability to bring down Shefa, and think of it as sort of like a pipe, and you have a pipe coming from those Talmid Chachamim going straight up to the heavens, straight up to Shamayim. And the Shefa that Hashem wants to bring goes through those pipes. Well, if the pipe is this big, then that amount of Shefa is able to get through. If they're growing, and every time a Kalkan keeps growing, then every time it'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. So the bigger that pipe is, the more Shefa they're able to bring down. The Avos HaKadoshim, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, their greatness is that the whole world received Shefa, received all the brachos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by them just being the only people in the world who were serving Hashem. By Avram being the only servant of Hashem, he was able to open up these huge domes of Shefa that came down into the world. He brought everything down in, and by himself, he was able to give everyone in the world everything they needed. And Tzaddikim, Talmid Chachamim, are constantly growing. And the more they do, the more they're involved in everything they do in this world, the bigger their pipes get. The bigger, which means more Shefa comes in, and it's amazing. That's why we're so makbid to daven, to say mishaberach, to do everything. For even the gedolim that are 90, 100 years old, even when a gadol is in a comatose state, the amount of Shefa that he brings down to the world, even when he's asleep, is way bigger than anybody else. And because tzaddikim are constantly growing, even in their dreams, even when they're sleeping, then we want them alive. We need them to be alive. A 104-year-old Rebbe Yashiv is greater than most 20, 40, 50-year-olds, even if they're constantly learning and learning Torah at a high level. Because a Rebel Yashiv is already that big, and he keeps growing and growing and growing. That's why we daven for 108-year-olds, 109-year-olds to get better, to get a Refuah Shleima. Are we really expecting them to have a Refuah Shleima? Yes, we need them. Because when they're gone, that Shefa's gone. Those pipes are gone. And who's going to make up for that? Who's going to be able to bring that back? When they die, we lose all of it. So what Benazai was saying is, because I missed out on one thing that Rabbi Yishmael could have taught me, and whatever that is, my Shefa that I can bring down into the world is no longer as much as I could get. It's lost, which means the whole world loses out. It's not just me, that I, Benazai, am not as great as I could have been. The whole world loses out because I can't bring down as much as I possibly could. You probably know this Gemara. It appears twice in Shas, in Ksuvis and Bava Metzia, with Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya fought with one another. They were both first generation Amoraim, last generation Tanoim. They were old enough that they could argue on Brisos and Mishnayos. Rabbi Chiya put together the Brisos, but they were still considered first generation Amoraim. Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Chiya would argue. Rabbi Chanina looked at Rabbi Chiya and said, "Bahadi didi mitznatsta? You're fighting with me? If I wanted to, if the whole Torah was forgotten, I would be able to be chozer the entire Torah back. I could bring the entire Torah back with my pilpul. My level of learning is so high. I could bring everything back just by learning on my own. I don't need any svarim." That's what Rabbi Chanina said. So how could you fight with me? Rabbi Chiya said, "Badi d'imitznasta, you're going to fight with me? You know how great I am?" said Rabbi Chiya. "You know how great I am? I'll make sure the Torah will never be forgotten." What did Rabbi Chiya do? And we all know this, that he took flax seeds, he planted them, he grew flax, he made nets, he trapped deer, he shechted the deer, he gave the meat over to poor people and orphans, and then he took the skin and he worked the skin out, he made Sifrei Torah, cut it up into five pieces, gave it to five different kids, taught six kids the Sidrei Mishnayos, told them all to learn with each other, and by that, he memela Rav Chashmaitza. He was able to make people learn. That's Rabbi Chiya. What are they arguing about? Who's greater in Torah? Then what's Rabbi Chiya's argument back? Rabbi Chiya looks at Rabbi Chanina and said, "I'll make sure Torah is never forgotten." That doesn't mean he's a great Talmud Chacham. That just means he's awesome at helping Klal Yisrael. Says Rabbi Chaim, it's clear they're arguing about which one was greater for Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Chiya now makes sense. Rabbi Chiya says, "I make sure that everybody has it. Rabbi Chanina, I could bring back the Torah with my pilpul. What does that do for Klal Yisrael? Torah is never going to be forgotten. Why are you helping Klal Yisrael?" And the answer is obvious. How's Rabbi Chanina going to help Klal Yisrael? Rabbi Chanina's going to help Klal Yisrael because every time he learns, he brings more Shefa down into the world. In fact, the whole world is getting everything they need from Rabbi Chanina. And it could be that without Rabbi Chanina, nobody would be able to learn. So in theory, Rabbi Chanina is getting up there and saying, "I'm greater because I bring down more Shefa, and I'm constantly growing. I'm getting more and more and more, and I'm doing more than you are. That's why I should win the fight." That's why we should be so upset about Nadav and Aviv. What are we upset about? Two men died 3,300 years ago? Does that do anything for me? What difference does it make? Yes, because we have no idea what Nadav and Aviv would have been. We have no clue. If Nadav and Aviv would have survived, and they would have been the Kohanim Gedolim, instead of Elazar and Itamar, instead of Aaron's two other sons, if they would have been those Kohanim Gedolim, who knows what the world would have been like? The whole world would be different. We'd have so much more greatness. And for that, for Nadav and Yudayim, that's what we go up. We say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we missed out on everything. So what we cry about in Yom Kippur, aside from our own abilities that we put back down on the table, and we said, "Well, we weren't able to do this year, we didn't do that this year." It's Nadav and Aviv that we look at and we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "How did we lose out on that? Why didn't we get it? Why couldn't you have given me so much more than this?" That's why we're so upset at them. That's how we could cry, if we understand that the world is lost because of them, because they passed away. When Rabbi Eliezer was dying, Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus, his Talmidim came to visit him. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph. The Talmidim came to visit him, and they came, and Rabbi Eliezer said to them, "Where were you? Up until now, where have you been? Where have you been?" So they said, "Rabbi, you were in Chayrim. We couldn't visit you. You were in Chayrim. You were put in excommunication. There was nothing we could do. So we're sorry, but what did you want us to do?" Rabbi Eliezer says, "I'd be shocked if you all didn't die strange deaths, horrible deaths. To which Rabbi Akiva, who was there, one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Eliezer, he got up there and said, Rabbi, what about me? What's going to be with me? And he said, you, Akiva, you're going to have the worst death of all. And Kachava, right? Rabbi Akiva had his flesh, as we all know, combed off. And they sold his meat and flesh in the marketplace. They sold it like animals, like animal flesh, to be used as weights in the marketplace. That's what happened to Rabbi Akiva. This was not a curse. This was a reality. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't curse his Talmidim that way. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't do that. That would be silly. Rabbi Eliezer was saying, Rabbi Akiva, do you understand what happened by you not learning from me? Yes, I was in Cher. Yes, there were Yisurim. So you sit four amos away and you take off your shoes and you sit on the ground. But you missing out on any learning that you could have had with me means the world misses out. Rabbi Akiva, the whole world's going to be built up through you. Your Talmidim are going to make the Mishnayos. Your Talmidim are going to start the whole Torah world again. Nobody else, aside from Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar, the five Talmidim, Rabbi Akiva, maybe Rabbi Nechemiah. That's going to start the Mishnayos. That's going to be the source of Torah Sheval Peh. You losing any bit, a little tiny bit from me, and not hearing a certain bit of Torah, said Rabbi Eliezer, the whole world's lost out. What do you think is going to happen to you? Of course your punishment is going to be severe. You made the world lose out on a whole chelek of Torah that they're not going to know. Maybe there was a whole chelek of Torah that we missed out on. Maybe it's the Mesechtos of Taros that we don't have because Rabbi Akiva didn't learn with Rabbi Eliezer. And for us, okay, what can we do? For Rabbi Akiva, that caused the worst death in the world. The worst death in the world for missing out on just that little bit. When 24,000 Talmidim die, the world loses out on so much. And it's not just that, and I know it sounds silly to say this, it's not just that 24,000 Talmidim died, therefore we lose out on their Torah and their Shefa. That's true. That's 100% true. What those 24,000 stood for is that people were growing. They were in constant growth mode. People wanted to be better. They wanted to be greater. They strived for more. They wanted to do what their Rebbeim were trying to do. And when they were gone, people didn't have Rebbeim to look up to. They didn't have the expectations that they once had. They lost out on those expectations. That meant to them that there was something missing in the world. Yes, Shefa was gone. Yes, the ability to learn was not as strong. But more than that, you didn't see growing people. You didn't see people that were really trying to be great. And that's why I think the question has to be answered in a certain way. If you think that going to this movie is going to make you a better person, and maybe it will, maybe that's something you need for your greatness, maybe there's a way where you can show me, and I'm fine with it, that seeing this will help. And sometimes it works. Sometimes there is a purpose to certain things. If that's true, then yeah, of course, you should see it. And if not, then just wait. Wait until your taiva is really strong, and wait for a time where you beat your taiva for the next couple weeks, and wait a little bit later, and when it comes out, and like the regular DVDs, and you go watch it, and you see what everybody was talking about, and you see how everybody dies. Right? Now that I'm giving away the ending. Why not do that? It's like a question that obviously it depends on the person, but at least it's being asked. But the answer should be so obvious. The answer should be obvious. What's Sphira for? What are we doing? What's Sphira all about? Why are we not listening to music? Why are we suffering for the next however many, 20 days until it's over, right? Until Lag BaOmer comes along. What are we doing? Because 24,000 Talmidim died? Is that it? Because they didn't show Kavod Zeh LaZeh? And therefore, we should show kavod to one another? Is there anything that anybody takes on for themselves where they're saying, I'm extra kavodic to my friends during these 33 days? So we take on certain things that the Mishnah Berurah, that the Shulchan Aruch says, we don't get married during this time, we don't have excess simcha during this time, that's where the listen to music part comes in. But it's about growth. That's really what it is. It's about our growth. Are we becoming better? Are we striving for more? If we take away our, let's say, the weddings that we go to, if we take away the inhibitions that we have, if we put that all to the side, are we becoming better, greater people? Are we striving to be the best that we can be? Are we pushing ourselves that instead of listening to music on the radio, maybe maybe we listen to something that is Torah-oriented. I'm not asking you to put Torah CDs in your car. I'm not asking you to download Torah anytime, which I'm on. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, is there something else that you could add on to your day to make it better, to make it stronger? Because really, don't we all want to look at greatness? Don't we all want to see a person who's striving to be the best person that he can be? Don't you think the high school wants to see people that are constantly growing, that every time they see them, they seem like a different person because they're growing and they're becoming better people? Everybody wants to see that. We love seeing Gedolim for that reason. We love looking at these great men because they stand for something. Little kids want to see that. And they can see it in us if we have the stamina to say to ourselves, we're going to do this. We're going to make ourselves better. I'm going to make myself into somebody great. And maybe I won't succeed within a year. Maybe it'll take me 20 years, 30 years to become great. But you're slowly but surely taking that little pipe that we have and we're making it bigger and bigger. We're expanding. We're expanding it. And if you're doing that, then you've succeeded. You can go watch a movie if you want. Go. If you feel you need a 3.5-hour break, I don't know how long it is, 4.5-hour break, right, to go ahead and do that, then go. Then it's worth it. You think you need to go to a baseball game in order to rebuild your strength and to build yourself up? Of course it's mutter. If you need a break and to play a game in order to get better, of course it's fine. But it's all about you. Where are you holding? And if you're holding in the right place, then it's okay. If you're not holding in the right place yet, then put yourself in the right place. Put yourself in the position to succeed. And then give in to your title. That's the full answer. You can understand why I didn't write that in text, right? Does that make a little bit more sense? So I give a generic answer. Because remember what this is all about. We have a very short zman. It's give or take 4 weeks. 4 weeks. Maybe, if you're staying until Shavuos, it's 5.5 weeks altogether. And that's it. And it's over. It's done. Then it's summertime. And summertime comes with its own set of challenges. So what are you going to do for the next 4.5 to 5 weeks? What are you going to make yourself into? That's the question you need to ask yourself now before this month really gets going. Have a good day, everybody.